Welcome to the Board Game Point of View. We are a group dedicated to the betterment of all people under the banner of tabletop gaming and also a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Once again, Stephen and I are coming to you from my home. And Seth is joining us live from Bozeman.
Yes.
We've got a really good show for you tonight. I'm going to wait until Stephen comes back. He went to grab a root beer. Oh, he's back with a Pepsi. What happened?
What? You're out of root beer.
Oh, okay.
I shed many a tear upon this discovery.
Like we like to do here on the Board Game Point of View, let's talk about life. What's happening right now in our lives?
Tons of crazy crap.
Tons, right. Okay, Seth, you just got a new job.
Yeah.
How is that going, and have you had any adventures?
It's going awesome, and I don't know if I would really say adventures.
Okay,
you know,
what are you doing these days? Yeah.
You know, cooking pizzas and stuff, rolling dough, throwing pepperonis.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have you spit in the food yet?
No.
What? Wait a minute. I eat it. I eat at your establishment.
Don't worry
you
about it.
You cook my food. Wait a minute.
No, see,
we don't really do that.
At the place where I work, we do this weird thing where instead of like messing with the food, we like try to make the food better for people. It's weird, but bear with me, right? And so like when one of your coworkers comes to get like a pizza, you just make it really awesome instead of, you know, making it awful.
Right.
Maybe you put
like
a little bit
idea.
Of chili powder in it. Yeah, I mean, you know.
Right. So here's something you can try. We used to call it the make table pizza. So at the end of the night, you've got your table sitting in front of you, and you've got the screen that catches all the stuff
that's
that falls
I already
to the wayside.
Going, that's gross. No.
Yeah.
I
no,
decline.
You take that tray.
No.
You dump it on a pizza and you cook that. And that's the make table pizza.
That sounds awful. That sounds just awful. Sounds bad. So bad.
Dude, I don't even know what screen you're talking about. That just sounds really bad. Yeah.
Every topping you can imagine that has fallen off of all the orders that have been made over the course of the day. 8 hours old.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you had me up until that
right,
point.
I know. Yeah.
Dude, the kitchen's where it's at, man.
I think so.
You gotta cook. I love cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't really do anything bad to the food. Don't.
Right.
But
just to clear the air.
Right.
Yeah, just to make sure that's clear.
Steven, what's happening in your world these days?
Well, I got locked out of my house the other day. That happened.
Okay.
So I go into work, and I'm like on my way to clock in, and a buddy of mine is like, dude, Steven, you don't work today. And we're always joking around where I work. So I'm like, yeah, right. And I go to clock in and he's, no, seriously, you don't work today. So I go look at the schedule and my boss had randomly given me the day off. So I'm like, sweet, a day to just chill. I drive back to my house and the screen door is locked and I don't have a key for that.
Right.
And I would just like rip out the screen
right. Yeah.
Like a savage.
Right.
But I'm not a savage. And also there's glass. So that was problematic. And so I'm locked out of the house and I'm in my uniform. And so it's like, wow. So I text my sister and like, when are you going to be home to open the garage so I can get in the house? Probably not till like 2 o'clock. And this is like 9:30 in the morning.
Right.
So I just hit the town. Well, I texted you, Adam.
Right.
I'm like, hey, you want to get coffee? Because I'm locked out of the house.
Right.
And
we did.
We did.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And we just...
We talked about our new headquarters, I think.
Yes, we did.
For a while. Yeah.
Which we can't say anything about that on air, though.
No, other than that it's happening.
And that it's awesome.
Right. Yeah.
It's happening.
Yeah.
Teaser.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that all happened, and I just had a day of adventure.
Yeah.
I went shopping at JCPenney because, you know, why not?
Right.
And I put on, like, this all-black hoodie to cover up my, like, work clothes.
Yeah.
And I don't go to JCPenney very often.
Right.
So I went in the wrong door and was in the women's section.
Okay.
So I'm walking around the women's section in a black hoodie.
Right.
Looking probably super sketchy.
Right.
Just very suspicious. And I was getting some dirty looks. And of course, I'm like prepping my defense.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm shopping for my girlfriend, right. Obviously.
Yeah.
Like, get off my back, woman. But thankfully, they all stayed away. So I made it to the dude section. Didn't find anything.
Okay.
Went home when the house was finally unlocked.
Right.
And ordered stuff online instead.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm actually wearing one of the shirts I ordered right now, though.
Nice. Yeah, I'm going to have a look.
What is it? Tell me. Describe it to me.
It says Zoo York.
Oh, so. Zoo York.
It's yeah. The bomb.
Dude, Zoo York is like what we used to wear like in middle school.
Dude, shut up.
It's still happening.
Honestly, Zoo York is like my favorite brand. So
honestly, just... I actually have no idea what Zoo York is. Yeah. So
it's a pretty solid, it's a long sleeve or a three quarter?
It's a long sleeve.
Yeah, nice. I like it. Yeah.
Do people actually wear the three quarters?
Up, right.
Yeah.
Like in real life.
Well,
I have a baseball tee. Is that considered a
three?
Yeah.
Speaking of apparel, though, I just recently acquired a new piece of apparel that has changed my life. Really, it's flipped it upside down. I bought a vest, a black, soft, puffy vest. That's amazing, and I wear it all the time. I'm actually wearing it right now with no shirt underneath because I love it so much.
That is an amazing idea.
Dude, you finally reached engineer status.
Right?
Right.
Dude, it was so engineered that I like even planned this because I didn't have enough money the first time I saw it. It was at Costco, of all places. Anyway, so I was like, okay, I'm going to plan the day until I have enough disposable income to buy this vest. And then I went there on the exact day planned and bought it, and there you go.
That's awesome.
That was an incredible story.
I know. It's never left my side since, okay?
I've been rocking a black vest since about sixth grade. I think it's a brilliant idea.
I know,
I love
awesome.
The decision.
Like, yeah. I can wear a t-shirt and it's cold, but I'm not cold. It's great.
It's perfect. It's like, it's too warm for a long sleeve, but it is a little chilly. So I'm going to put on this vest.
Mm-hmm. Or you just always wear the vest.
Well, man, I also have a black vest.
Yeah.
My vest I almost never wear, though.
That's sad.
Because it's too poofy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It just looks like a big black square on my torso.
Okay.
And I'm a very slim guy.
Right.
I gotta have the slim fitting clothing, and this vest is just a square, and it doesn't look right.
I've been bulking up, so that's my nice. Needs me all right.
Oh, so speaking of the headquarters, here's what's happening in my life. I left Sunday morning for Steamboat Springs, Colorado, to go pick up a truck full of equipment for our new headquarters. Loaded it up all on Monday, and got back into Billings at about 5 in the morning on Tuesday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which is today.
It is today.
Is that today?
It's been a long day.
So that's why you're sleepy.
Yeah.
I was noticing, like, Adam seems a little sleepy today.
Yeah. But... yeah, my gears are turning a little bit slower today. But
dude, Seth, you're up. New moderator.
Right.
Dude, I don't know how to moderate.
No, but...
Yeah. So how was your life, Steven? Oh, wait, crap. We already did that.
Okay, you're fired.
Yes. Yes.
Not only are you not the moderator, but just you're not even a cast member anymore after that.
I'm just a man on the street.
So, Mr. Sebra.
Right.
No.
So, that is pretty exciting.
It is, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it is moving forward. We're going to try and get this place open before the end of the year, but...
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. It is crazy.
Dude, it's going to be like Swankville.
Right.
That's the name of it, right?
Swankville?
Swankville, USA.
You know...
I'll take that
we'll
as
think
a
about
yes.
it. Yeah. So moving on, let's talk about some board game stuff. Since joining the Dice Tower, we have had overwhelming support from our listeners. And what we would like to do is actually have you guys write questions to us that you might have for us as individuals or about tabletop gaming in general. So tonight we're going to answer one question.
Let's it's a real slobber knocker.
Oh, it is. This one. Yeah. Can you pull that up on your phone, Steven? Yeah.
Give me a minute.
Yep.
Magic of editing.
Right. So we're getting questions via the email, via Facebook. We're going to go to Facebook now.
Via the emails?
Yep.
Via the email.
Uh-huh.
Wait, are we looking for the question? Because I have the question right here.
No, it's I've had my it this whole time.
That's right. Like, Steven's on it. He's I've almost it. There.
I've been reading it, actually,
hush,
this whole time.
Hush.
All right, hush, Steven's got it. Okay.
I got it. Nobody else has it. It's only me.
Okay, Steven's got it here.
Okay, so first off, hello, Brandy. Thank you for contacting us. She says, I'm trying to find like a calendar or something for when / where you guys meet up. Definitely something I'd be interested in joining.
Right. So we do have a calendar, a list of events that we run, and you can find that on our website at bgpov.com under the Game Club tab. So you click on that tab and it will just be a list of all of our events and when they're happening.
Boom.
Yeah. So, something cool that happened last week, guys, is the Essen Game Fair in Germany. This is the largest game fair on the planet. And I think between 700 and 1,000 new games were debuted there. It's a lot of games.
Oh, that makes the lip quiver right there. It's almost too much.
It is. I don't even think the Dice Tower as a whole reviews 700 games in a year. So that sounds a little bit overwhelming.
The
actually.
Dice Tower as a whole doesn't, but we single-handedly do.
Right. Oh.
Am I right?
Oh yeah.
Like 6 a month. That's about
right. Right.
The math on that. Yeah, it works.
Yeah,
it's pretty close.
12 months in a year.
Yeah, it's within our margin of error, anyways.
Right. I don't really have much news from Essen because it's still being released, but definitely check out the other podcasts on the Dice Tower Network for Essen news because I know a lot of them actually attended. Any thoughts on Essen, Germany?
Sounds pretty awesome. Should we mention that it's actually called the International Spieltage Spiel?
Yeah.
Often called Essen.
Yes, Essen is the city that it's in.
Right.
Most of us here in the States, the colonies, refer to it as just Essen. But yeah, it's got a German name with a lot of spiels in it.
There's just one spiel.
Yeah. Spiel meaning game.
Yeah. When in doubt, just throw a spiel in
That's
there.
That's right, yeah.
Very bored spiel point of view.
Yes.
I have heard of Essen.
Yeah.
A lot. I'm trying to remember where. Maybe it was in a movie or something, but it sounds very familiar.
Mm-hmm. It does.
Well, it's funny because I think they release a board game called Essen, at least one there every year. Yeah. So that might have been where you...
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know how good these games are because I think they're actually about attending the Essen Game Fair.
So I would say they're probably on par with like the annual Olympics, like video games and stuff.
Probably.
Where they're like not too bad,
right?
But very mediocre.
Right. Yeah. You say, let's play this. It's just like competing, right?
It's exactly like it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, and by the way, I guess it wouldn't really be annual since the Olympics only happen every 4 years. But
right, the quad annual.
The quad, dude, that sounds fancy as crap,
it
right
does,
there.
It does, yeah. So we get the Essen board game, we play it, and then it's just like we were there.
Yeah,
that sounds a lot cheaper than spending the airline tickets and hotels to get to Germany.
Yeah, but definitely.
Can you really compare those two experiences?
Yes.
Okay. Just checking.
Yeah.
I'm glad you can say that without a
right.
shadow of doubt.
Yeah. And I think we just surround ourselves with German accoutrement, and it'll be just like we're in Germany.
I don't know what that means, you know. Which does make it seem like I'm in Germany.
Okay.
Dude.
We'll just have...
It's perfect.
Yeah. We'll cook up some sausages and...
Aren't they called brat? bratwursts.
Some bratwursts?
Not sausage.
Not right. Bratwursts. Yeah. Also, yeah. Schnitzels, sometimes they're called.
Right? Yeah. And strudels.
And some grapes.
No, wait a minute.
Grapes. Okay.
Wait.
Steven?
Mr. International.
Yes. I discovered those on my Beeple quest.
Right, yeah.
Crepes. Although a crepe and a pancake, very
pretty close,
similar.
Yeah. I do prefer crepes, actually.
Do you really?
On the list of like morning time kind of pancakey treats, crepes, waffles, and then pancakes.
Dude,
yeah.
My number one is actually French toast.
Ooh, that's pretty good. You know what? French toast pancakes.
Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You won me over.
I told a coworker, I was like, I prefer French toast to pancakes.
Yeah.
And he like freaked out. He's like, are you kidding me right now? You've got to be joking. I'm like, dude, French toast is good, man.
It is good.
And that was an amazing story.
It was. Dude, I'm totally with you. I don't even like pancakes. It's like, it's French toast, waffles. Like
right.
Anything else, like bagels, then like pancakes.
Literally anything,
right? Okay, so the board game world is just all up in arms about this Kickstarter, and
oh man,
since the whole world is up in arms, I think we probably should at least mention this game, which kickstarted today, actually.
Yes, sir.
This is a game by the designer of Viticulture, Jamie Stegmeier. This is his newest game, and it's called Scythe. And we all looked at the video for the Kickstarter, and I think I saw a little bit of drool come out of Steven's face.
Okay. Not a little bit, a lot.
Okay, just yeah.
Get that, you know. Yeah, I was super impressed by this game. It
yeah.
looks amazing.
Right.
And I like immediately backed it even.
Right.
Which
I was surprised. I mean,
yeah. Well, there are so many cool games on Kickstarter and so many that I've wanted to back and never have.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is actually the first game I've officially backed. And I went ahead and got like the full version, you know,
right.
So I can
yeah.
get the game itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually pretty psyched.
Yeah. So the premise of the game, this is Eastern Europe in another kind of parallel universe. And what has happened is there's been a lot of war, and these factories have popped up all over the landscape to build these war machines. And I think war in general has subsided, but they've got all of these machines left over. So they're using these machines to farm and do other kind of agrarian and utilitarian activities. But then I think war starts to pop up again. And you each play a different kind of group of people. And you each take a little bit of a region. And it's actually kind of a cross between Agricola and maybe an area control game like Risk. Though without
yeah.
the chance involved. So it looks pretty deep. And it's what's called a 4X game. So that's explore, expand, exploit, and exterminate.
Boom.
Nice.
And I mean, what more do you need in a game, really?
I honestly have no idea.
Right.
Well, it also has, based on the little like promotional video,
right.
It also has really, really cool looking artwork to me.
Right.
And some super cool, unique miniatures
mm-hmm.
for each of the factions.
Right.
Which is very reminiscent of Risk Legacy to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that whole aspect of the game is kind of like what drew me in initially.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you read about how the actual game works, it just sounds really cool and really unique.
Right. Yeah, the artwork is just, it's got to be some of the best artwork ever conceived for a board game, I think. And
boom.
I think Jamie Stegmeier actually worked very closely with the artist and I think was inspired by the art itself, this artist who created this kind of parallel universe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's fanciful, but it is believable at the same time.
Yeah.
It's got
yeah.
like a really like macabre kind of tone of like
right.
Joining together like this like kind of bleak farming society, but then like in the
mm-hmm.
background, like a picture I'm looking at right now, there's just these giant machines like walking in the distance like harvesting.
Right.
It's super cool.
Well, yeah, because like the actual, it's such a unique setting.
Right.
That it's really cool to me because the actual like people, their weapons and their like clothing and stuff right. is very
it's like turn of the century, like yeah, 100 like years
they
ago.
Have like muskets,
right?
Like black powder rifles, mm-hmm. and they're like, it looks like they're about to go explore the frontier,
right?
But then they also have like these crazy futuristic looking, well, not even so much futuristic looking,
right?
But just like these mechanical, just mammoths,
right?
That are really cool to like combine those two things,
yeah. And the other thing that I like, just looking at the art again, is you see kind of these farmers in the foreground of this image, and then there's a bear that they've strapped to their wagon, and it's yep. pulling their yeah. wagon, and that's, you look at it, and it's, and you believe it.
Yeah.
They got a grizzly bear pulling a wagon, well, but it's totally legit.
Yeah, well, each of the factions, you know, have, like, their own art right. and their own leader with the miniature. That's what the mm-hmm. miniature is, like, the leader of the faction. And one is, like, Bjorn and Mox, because mm-hmm. each leader is like the character, and then they have like an animal companion.
Yeah. Right.
And that character, Bjorn, is like this huge bearded Nordic guy, mm-hmm. and he's actually riding this yak while holding like one of these old black powder rifles.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
Right?
Yes.
And then there's like a Soviet woman with a bear.
Right.
And there's some chick with like an eagle.
Yeah.
And just like all of this really cool stuff.
Right.
And
these are the miniatures.
Yeah, yeah, these are the miniatures.
Right.
And then each, so those are the leaders.
Right.
And then each faction also has their own miniatures for their style of mech.
Mm-hmm.
So one has a mech that almost looks kind of like a big tractor with a gun on it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I really like the Rust-Viet Union with kind of like the scythe blaze on it after the name, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's right. a thresher, but then it's also got cannons on its shoulders. So it's pretty great.
That pretty much sums up this game, I think.
Yeah.
It's a thresher, but it's got guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, and then just all the animals, because I've just been looking back at every picture, and every picture has all these unique animals. Like, there's one that's got, like, a reindeer, and then it's also got, like, this big, almost mammoth-looking thing. Almost like a bantha from Star Wars.
Right.
And there's just all these yeah. there's animals and everything, and, like, a tiger. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah, that's like what really drew me in, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's so unique and kind of weird, but then really just super awesome.
Right. Yeah, I look at it and I'm like, I want to live in that world.
So, and we're not the only ones who think this, too, because like you said, it's already backed. It wanted to get $33,000 and it got $564,000 already, and this is the first day.
In one day.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It was apparently funded in like 2 minutes, not even joking. Like it
right.
showed up, was available, and then people just flooded in. All the stretch goals were met within 5 to 10 minutes, and
right.
like the site even broke down for a little bit just because of how many supporters were flooding in, which is just crazy.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, they have the different tiers of like backing mm-hmm. you can do.
Yeah, and I think that second tier includes metal coins that come with
the
game.
Yeah, the premium edition has
right.
80 unique metal coins, which was very tempting.
Right.
But my wallet was like, maybe not.
Right, yeah. And I think the highest level that you can pledge, you get the coins, you get the game, but you also get a hardcover book of all the yeah. artwork. That actually intrigues me almost as much as the game itself. I'm going to have to talk to my wallet as well and see what I can do.
I'll probably wait and see if you can just get that book separate
yeah.
at some point down the road.
Yeah, but I think that's what I'm waiting for, but we'll see.
We shall indeed.
Yeah, so that's Scythe. Be sure to check it out in the next week or two. You will certainly not be the only one.
Yeah, it's up for 23 more days.
Right.
The run was 24 days, so...
Yeah, this game is going to raise millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And it'll probably be a favorite amongst a lot of people because Viticulture is, though I haven't played it, a favorite of a lot of people, and they say very, very good things about it. Shall we move on to a game that we can actually play now? Let's talk about Smash Up. This is a game from AEG. And I think by now most people have played Smash Up, but we haven't actually talked much about it outside of the ramblings of a man on the street. So
shout out to Mr. Wall.
That's right. Yeah. So Smash Up is a pretty cool concept. You've got a box full of cards, and they're divided into decks, and each deck is a different faction or unit. So in the base game, let's see, I think you get things like pirates and ninjas and what else? Dinosaurs, robots. And what you do is you take two of these factions, like dinosaurs and robots, you shuffle them together, and that is your deck. And you will be competing to basically break into different locations around the planet. So, for example, your dinosaur robots will be breaking into the Temple of Goji, the Great Library, the Laboratorium, Rhodes Plaza Mall, all of these things, the Mushroom Kingdom. Can they do that?
Apparently so.
Okay. but it's a really interesting game, and I hadn't played it when Mr. Wall had it attempted to explain to us what this game was about.
Which is points, but, by the way.
Right, it's all about points.
It's all about the points.
Right. So in your deck, you're going to have different minions. And each minion has a point value associated with it, generally somewhere between 1 and 6. And the bases also have a point value. So you'll be playing your minions to these bases, trying to take them over. And if at any point the point total of the minions on that base matches or exceeds the point total of the base, then it breaks. And you score points according to who has the most minions there. Or maybe the second most will score more points. It's really kind of a unique and interesting way to score points. But the fun in the game really comes from taking these different factions and shuffling them together and seeing what happens. You also have actions that you can perform on your turn that help boost your minion's ability or maybe make it harder for other players to place minions on bases. What did you guys think of Smash Up?
I definitely think it's fun. When you start playing off, it seems kind of like it's hard to make things work and make things happen with what you have in your hand. But as you play more, which is, you know, the same with any game, you kind of get used to it and you kind of see what you want to do with what cards and when to play them. And then it's when you really realize how many different Smash Ups you can have with the different with the different factions and can do crazy things. So that's pretty awesome.
And yeah, going back to just the theme of the game, we've got some of the cards here in front of us, and we're looking at, say, the ninjas. The minions and the actions associated with the ninjas are going to be ninja-like things. And you, both of you guys have played with the ninjas.
Yep. Well, they've got, you know, your obvious, you know, assassination card, you know, just destroy an enemy minion. And they can destroy enemy minions as like up to the max strength, where a lot of other cards kind of are just fighting, and it'll destroy a minion up to a certain strength. But assassinate can take out some of the big bosses of the others, which is kind of like what ninjas do. They have things, you know, like smoke screens, which allow or prevent other people from playing their abilities, I think is what that one does. And they have, basically. Oh, and one of my favorite cards is, it's a ninja card that when a base gets broken, you can actually swap it out with another card in your hand. So it's like a decoy kind of ninja. So that's pretty awesome.
Right. It's like a base gets broken and a ninja pops out of the rafters because he's been hiding up there.
It's like, oh, I thought that was just a normal dude this whole time. And then, whoop, nope, it's a ninja. So yeah, all of the cards are super thematic like that. And I think Steven played the zombies last time we played. And their cards are all about getting your discarded minions back from the discard pile and playing them again, you know, like you're resurrecting a zombie horde. So it's pretty great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I know I've played as, like, the aliens before, and the aliens are funny because it's, for them, it's about returning cards from your opponents back into their hands. So you're, like, abducting them and removing them from bases and doing some tests on them and then returning them to their owners. But and the werewolves are all about kind of taking weak characters and then growing them just tremendously for a number of terms, like you would if you know, during a full moon. You're gonna be huge I mean, for a short period of time.
Naturally.
Yeah. and then
that's how it works.
That's right, yeah.
Werewolves.
Uh-huh.
Watch out. No.
And then the robots are, you know, just about swarming you with mass numbers of little tiny minions.
Mm-hmm. We should also point out, I'm Mr. Art guy,
right.
Components guy.
Yeah.
Every single faction in this game, correct me if I'm wrong, but was actually designed by a different artist, correct?
I think you're right, yeah.
And you can definitely tell with some, like the pirates and the ninjas look pretty similar. But if you compare like the dinosaurs and the ninjas, there's definitely a different look to the
right.
art,
mm-hmm.
which is cool because they're all so unique. And at the same time, for me at least, I definitely have some that I prefer over others. You know?
Just due to the art style.
Just even due to the art.
Yeah.
Like obviously all of them play differently. That's mm-hmm. like kind of the point. But like if they're all laid out on the table, I'm an art guy, man.
Right.
I'm an art guy. So I get drawn to like, oh man, that one looks cool
right.
first. Before, even if I don't have any idea how the faction plays,
right.
I'm like, that one looks cooler than that one.
Right.
And so that is kind of a cool thing and also a drawback maybe to some people. But I still think it's really cool that mm-hmm. it's called Smash Up.
Right.
So it's a bunch of different things just getting kind of smashed up together.
Exactly.
Right.
So it's cool that they also have the unique artist.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I think there are 6 expansions for Smash Up. It's been around for a while.
Oh, yeah. There's tons of them.
You can be things like Cthulhu. We've got ghosts, killer plants. You can be steampunk. and there's even one expansion box called Pretty Pretty Smash Up.
Yep.
That includes unicorns and kittens and princesses and things, which...
We need that one.
I know. We do.
That sounds awesome.
It looks amazing.
It does.
And I heard that the unicorns are actually pretty powerful.
I know. That's what I heard, too.
That seems pretty fitting, I gotta say.
Right.
I like the pairings in this game, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Seth mentioned I played as the zombies, but I was actually zombie dinosaurs.
Right.
And think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, dinosaurs have been dead for a long time, so it's so fitting that, like, dinosaurs
right.
would resurrect themselves. It's kind of crazy. And then... Seth was ninja pirates.
Yep, the age-old enemies finally banded up together.
Right.
From what I understand, that was actually a pretty bad pairing.
Yeah, it did.
Because they're very...
Yeah, it seemed kind of... They both were focused on a lot of, like, destroying other people's minions.
Right.
And so I didn't really have a lot of options otherwise, but...
Yeah.
When I played as the ninjas, I was a ninja wizards.
Yeah.
Which sounds awesome, but... I wasn't a big Wizards fan. And
then
Mr. Gregory's
right.
matching always involves the Wizards if he can.
Really?
And he's like insanely good at playing the Wizards.
Okay.
So it was kind of sad because when I played as them, the whole time I'm like, man, the Wizards, they kind of suck.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, dang.
Yes.
if you actually know what you're doing, I suppose, they're pretty effective.
Yeah. But, yeah, Mr. Gregory owns this game, and he's been playing it for quite a while, and I think there is a lot of replayability in this game because you do want to try and understand, you know, which factions pair well with others. You know, it can also be fun, though, just you put them all face down and then you grab at random.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we did the very first time we played.
Right.
Because, like, the main problem is... Yeah, depending on who's choosing first,
mm-hmm.
and depending on how many times you've played the game,
right.
you do have certain factions that you'll like go mm-hmm. for because you know they're good or you understand how to play them better.
Right.
And for me, even though I think I've only actually played as them once, I love the ninjas.
Right.
It's my favorite artwork. Just I think they're really cool.
Yeah.
And so if I'm given the opportunity, I'll grab those ninjas. You
mm-hmm.
know, like, oh, man.
Yeah.
And the first few times you play... Since you don't know what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
maybe just pick the ones you think look cool and have
fun
with it. But if you're super experienced, it might be more fun to randomize it a bit.
Right.
And then...
Kind of just have to deal with what you get. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you've played it enough to where you still understand them all mm-hmm. a fair amount, then it would still be pretty fun, I think, seeing what you were dealt. And then,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you could... If you understand them well enough, you can counter what your opponent is choosing as well. So... Maybe you choose one at a time and you see your opponent has picked up a specific faction and you may pick up one then to counter that. So I think this is a game that warrants getting the expansions just to give it a little bit more playability, but then also to maybe negate the, well, Mr. Gregory always plays as the wizards, but if you had more, maybe you'd find a faction or a pairing that would counter that.
So, definitely.
Yeah, I definitely recommend this game. It was one that I was going into like, well, it's just numbers, it's math. I mean, that's all it is. So I really wasn't expecting to enjoy it. But then I saw how well they had paired the theming with the actual abilities of the cards, and that turned me around 180.
Although, in my closing thoughts...
Yes.
Now that we've described this game...
Yes.
I must actually say that I do not like it very much.
Okay.
Like, the best part of it to me is combining the factions, right, and looking at the cards and, like, the theming of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the actual, like, legitimate gameplay,
mm-hmm,
I don't hate it, but every time I find myself getting bored, like, 10 minutes in, and I'm just waiting for the game to end.
Right.
Maybe I'm just a horrible sport. I'm just like, wow, we're just playing cards on bases. This is so exciting.
I will say, it can seem to drag on when people are spending a lot of time choosing what they're going to do and, like, planning out their moves, right, and... that's just kind of going around the table and you're waiting till the next turn you can do something. But when you have cards that kind of play off of what other people play and you're really like waiting to play this cool combo, mm-hmm, and someone kind of messes that up or you mess up someone else's combo, that's when it, right, gets interesting and keeps the game moving.
Yeah. And I think you do have to put in the time to get to that point where you know what the cards do and... you don't have to necessarily read all the abilities, because I think that's what's slowing our games down, is that we are so new to it still that we have to read each card and try and figure out what to do with it. And we're playing with people who are doing the same, so I think that's where the game drags on a little bit. So if this concept sounds interesting to you, yeah, I'd say put some time into it and see where it goes with the base game. There are 6 expansions waiting for you if you like it. Moving on. No, Steven has something else to say.
No.
Oh, okay.
But where's Alex?
Where's Alex?
I know where he is, yeah, but I'm just saying, I miss him, man.
Oh, I know.
Miss, yeah, Alex.
So he actually started this week. Rehearsal.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say practicing.
Practicing, yeah. Yeah, we're theater people. So, yes, Alex is busy rehearsing 5 days a week to be the best Shrek on the planet. Good luck, Alex. But if you are in the Ohio area, we can post a link maybe on this podcast to his production so you can check it out in November. Because from what I've seen and what he's done for us, he's a really, really good actor. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So our game of the podcast is actually one of my favorite games as of late.
Aw, snap.
It's a game from Portal Games designed by Ignacy Trebicek. It's Imperial Settlers.
Whoop, whoop.
Whoa.
Yeah. And, you know, you look at the title and maybe the box art, and I can tell already, looking in Steven's eyes, that he is not intrigued by the thought of being an Imperial Settler and being a portly man joyfully marching down the road with his dog.
Yeah.
No, I gotta say, this is one of those games that never interested me in the least bit, both from the look of it and just kind of the sound of it, mm-hmm, and the title of it and, right, the whole thing. And like about a week ago, you were like, Steven,
yeah,
we're gonna play Imperial Settlers. It's one of my favorite games.
Yeah. And I said this about Agricola.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you said that about Agricola, uh-huh, which I'm not a big fan of.
Right.
So I was like, oh, one of your favorite games, huh? Woohoo. Now, and then to my total surprise, I really like this game.
Yeah.
This game is awesome.
Yeah. So the premise of the game is you're playing a different faction of people from different parts of the world. So we've got the Romans, the Egyptians, the Japanese,
and
the barbarians, I guess is what,
yeah,
more of a generic race. But and all the civilizations have these different things that are catered to them and kind of touch a little bit on the history of those civilizations. And they're all very fun, thematic things. So, for instance, we've got the Romans here. And, Stephen, you're looking at some of these. What are some of the buildings that the Romans can construct?
I don't know.
We're looking at them.
There are a lot of cars. Well, you can build things like a gladiator school, a Roman legion, a Roman bank.
Right.
Things of that nature. Then, of course, the barbarians have things like a fortress, rabble.
Rabble, which is just a group of barbarians getting together to chant.
A stone pit.
Right. Just a pit. We built a pit.
Yeah.
Just a pit. A dark chapel that's just like a flaming skull that this dude is worshiping.
Wow.
Right. What you have in front of you is actually your player board. You're kind of the mayor of your civilization or the king or what have you. And you've got a photo actually on your player board. And it's pretty cool because on one side, they're identical apart from the depiction of your leader, which can either be female on one side or male on the other. And I'm glad that games are doing this because, it's nice to have the option as a female to play as a female. Or, I mean, I think I played as a female.
Yeah. When we played, we had all four factions in play.
Right.
We had a full four-player game, and all four of us were female characters.
Yeah. That's because women rule the world. Even going to try and pretend that is not true.
Even if the man is the front,
right.
The woman is the one.
That's right.
Pulling the strings.
Exactly. There's also a deck of common buildings. So you start the game drawing some of these buildings from your personal deck. And then everybody takes some of the common buildings as well. And these are like sawmills and wood suppliers. Yeah, pig farmers. Just things that you'll find in just about any civilization.
Dude, Monty the Merchant.
And the way you actually put these things into your civilization is... you've got resources as well. And let's just talk about these components real quick. I'm going to have Steven talk about them.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So all of the like the resources and the little parts for this game are wooden pieces. And so you have people represented by their little meeples of a sort, but they have what appear to be skirts, and all of them are pink.
Go there.
Okay.
Don't
go. And then you have apples to represent food. The wood are actual little like brown pieces of, looks like a little log, basically.
Right.
You have stone, not rocks.
Unless you're a barbarian.
Kaylee and I had this debate many times.
Yeah, she was playing as the barbarians.
I was playing as the Romans.
Right.
And I'm like, it's stone. She right. keeps going, rocks. I'm like, right. No.
You're using all of these things to build and place these different buildings from your hand into your civilization. So, for instance, if you want to build a quarry, you're going to need to pay a piece of lumber and some stone to actually build like the scaffolding and the weight system to actually get your quarry functioning. The other nice thing is, let's say you run out of resources, you can actually discard a card from your hand to gain resources. So the card not only acts as a building, but you can then discard it for resources as well.
And then the other actions, like the shield, you can place that on a building
mm-hmm.
to protect it against other players, because there is indeed a PvP aspect.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Raising. And each faction, you can get these little like sword tokens,
mm-hmm.
and you can use these swords to either raise your own buildings for resources, or attack and raise other settlers' buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that adds like a little level of conflict to the game.
Mm-hmm.
So you can put a shield on your building though, and then it increases the defense value basically.
Right,
and then. The higher the defense, which is, I think, a maximum of only 3, though.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have that many of the raised tokens.
Right, these little swords.
Yeah, in order to destroy that building then.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of cool because, you know, for most of the game, you're just there focusing on your own little town,
mm-hmm.
your own little world. but then there are these moments of conflict with the other players.
Right.
That kind of remind you, like, wow, we are all on this little planet together.
That's right, yeah.
And I really like that because mm-hmm. it adds more interaction to a game like this.
Right, yeah, this is pretty much a Euro game apart from that. The fun, interactive quality of actually attacking another civilization, I think is huge for this game. The other thing that's really, really cool about this game is the artwork. And I think it is probably some of the coolest artwork I've seen in a game. Each card, and there are many cards.
Yes.
You know, let's say the grain field here. You could have just put a picture of a field on that card, but the artist has gone as far as to put, like, cats kind of hanging out around the grain field. There's a man there, you know, with some tools, a scarecrow. There's a little rabbit hiding behind a tree stump. So there's just a lot of care and detail put into each one of these illustrations. And it's very cute
yeah.
artwork. And it's probably good that it's cute. I played as the Egyptians, and there is actually some very questionable cards in there. The Egyptian Empire, you know, obviously heavy into slavery. And there's like a slave market in their faction deck. And I think the cuteness kind of downplays if
kind of just takes the edge off of like the severity of right. the topics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, like, okay, I'm looking at a barbarian card right now. It's labeled Pack, and it's a group of barbarian men
right.
with a cart, and on the cart is a woman tied up, and they're like taking her away from right. your village.
Right.
And that's pretty intense right there. But then you look at it and it's so cute. And you're yeah. like, oh, that's
I gotta
cute.
Say,
wait
this,
a minute. What are the
this art style it's reminds me a lot of like an isometric kind of like Japanese RPG type of style, you know, that you would have played on like
right.
the Game Boy or something. Just the way that it's designed.
Yeah.
And yeah, how it's like cute and just kind of but then not only is it cute, but everything is so like vibrant at the same time. So it really pops
right.
out
yeah.
and makes it feel like almost alive, like a world that is inhabited.
Right. Well, and yeah, the isometric comment is actually very poignant because your player board is vertical and there are little tiny roads that are actually very subtle. They're kind of downplayed on most of the cards, but as you line these buildings up and connect them to each other, the roads actually connect as well.
Huh.
So you can see the roads kind of building your
yeah.
city between structures.
Yeah, they really thought of like every single little detail when it
right.
comes to the art, which I really appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Even like
right.
the Romans have very, you know, it all looks like Roman architecture.
Right.
And the soldiers and guards and all that are like Roman legionaries.
Mm-hmm.
And then even among though the faction cards, they also have some that kind of like are the same concept, such as a sentry tower.
Right.
But, of course, they're unique for each
mm-hmm.
civilization. So you have a sentry tower for the barbarian. It's just made of, like, sticks.
Right.
And, like, straw. And it's
right.
super rugged. And then the Roman one is, like, this super professional-looking stone watchtower.
Right.
It's really nice.
Right.
And
then, the resource cost is different for each.
Yeah. So for the sentry tower for the barbarians, it's just wood.
Right.
And the Romans, it requires stone.
Right.
And so all of those little thematic elements just really play super seamlessly.
Yeah, and the game is played over the course of 5 rounds, and it ramps up at a nice pace. So you're building a little engine piece by piece that in the end, you just want to be this smooth flowing machine that is just producing you resources and victory points. The other thing about your faction buildings is that you've got these common buildings, and most faction buildings actually require you to upgrade one of your common buildings. So let's say you've got a grain field. You then have to sacrifice your grain field and pay the resource costs of one of your faction buildings to put it into play. So you're basically building over a lesser structure to put a more permanent structure into play because I think for the most part, you're not allowed to attack another player's kind of cultural buildings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the cultural buildings last forever, basically.
Right.
And you can just raise and destroy all of the common buildings you want.
Right.
But then once that gets transformed into a cultural building, mm-hmm. it's there for good.
Right.
And that's actually like the downside to raising even.
Right.
Because you can attack the enemy player, you get resources, and you sort of mess them up by
right.
like destroying one of their buildings. But when you raise another player's building, it actually becomes...
Just a ruin, basically. Yeah.
And that's therefore a foundation for a cultural building.
Right.
So they can build one of their fancy buildings
right.
on the ruins of what you just destroyed.
Right.
So even in our game, you know, Adam was the Egyptians, I'm the Romans.
Mm-hmm.
Egypt was getting out of hand.
Right.
So I ended up turning my eye, the eye of Rome,
right.
towards him. And I was destroying all of his crap. And then I finally noticed later on, like, every time I destroyed something, he built a much better building on what I destroyed. And in the end, who knows? I may have even helped him win. I don't know. Because he did, in fact, win. But it was very historical, though.
It was,
because
yeah.
I was Rome, and I was in the lead in, like, the sort of middle.
Right.
It was the rise of Rome mm-hmm. and then the fall of Rome.
Right.
And I got last place. I was in first all the way to last.
Wow.
So it was pretty...
But it wasn't the barbarians yeah. that took you out.
No, but the barbarians did surpass me, which was very sad.
That's very sad. With their rocks.
Because they were... You know, Kaylee was the barbarians, and she was so far behind.
Right.
Poor Kaylee. Like... I honestly, it got to the, and it's probably why I ended up losing,
uh-huh.
but it got to that moment where I'm like, there's no way she can come back. And
mm-hmm.
then she surpassed me. So
right.
then that was just a huge kick to the pants right there. But, oh well,
right.
I had cool Roman buildings.
Yeah,
so I
know.
Didn't really care. It was still pretty satisfying destroying all of your villages
right.
and such.
And the other thing you can do with the kind of civilization cards is they've got a third function. You can spend a piece of food to actually make a deal. And at the bottom of the card, you can make a deal maybe for another piece of lumber. So you turn in a piece of food and you slot this card into the top of your player board. And at the beginning of each round, you will then get a piece of lumber along with everything else that your civilization starts with. I guess we should mention that each civilization kind of has a strength as well.
Yeah.
For you, you were given quite a few swords, and you were able to hang on to those round to round.
Because
at the end of a round, you actually have to get rid of all of your resources, and each faction can hold on to a specific type of resource. They don't have to discard that. And for the Romans, it's the swords.
Which is how you raise things.
Right.
So that's like... basically equivalent to military power.
Mm-hmm. For the Egyptians, I think it was stone.
No, the Egyptians had money.
Money? Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And money in this game is like a wild, more or less,
mm-hmm.
because it can be used as in place of a stone, a wood, or a food?
An apple, I think. Yeah.
Or a food.
A food, yeah.
And so money is really good to have.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Egyptians have like, they're super wealthy. Rome has the military. Barbarians can save people, so they have a
right.
crazy high population.
Mm-hmm.
And then the only one that didn't really make much sense
right.
was the Japanese could save food.
Right.
And I'm not totally sure
rice
why.
Patties.
Right. At the end,
that's the only thing that came to my mind is that
right.
I mean they farm
right.
and such, but it still
yeah.
was like. We don't really know what to do, so they'll have food. But
yeah, at the end of the game, we look over at my wife's player board, and she's probably got about 12 pieces of food sitting there. I think there is something you can do about that in terms of spending that food. You can make a lot of deals, I suppose, or just look for opportunities in the common deck of buildings for... ways to spend.
But one of those actually did pop up, though.
Okay. And what happened?
I took it.
Okay.
I took it only to sabotage her because I had zero use for this building. And I happened to go before her and I saw it and it had a deal where you can turn in two apples to gain a victory point.
Right.
And so she could just turn in all her apples and get like all these points. So I wasn't going to let that happen. Right. And I wasn't last anyways. Right. So I'm like, I'll snatch that up. She was pretty mad at me.
Yeah.
She sent some ninjas at me. But Rome repelled them. I mean, I lost, but I repelled the ninjas, though.
That's a personal victory, yeah. I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, this game is a lot of fun. I think there's a lot of replayability here. There were a lot of times where we were all just stopped and we had forgotten whose turn it was because we're looking at our cards, looking at the fun artwork.
Also, though, mainly I was so stealthy when I would do stuff.
I know. You were very quiet.
Well, because nowhere in the rules does it say you have to announce what you do. But everybody is like, I'm taking one apple and trading two wood. And I'm like, cool. And then when it was my turn, I would just do my stuff. Right. And then I would usually say pass, to be fair.
Right.
Like, you know, and then Kaylee's just there looking at her barbarians.
Right.
How easy is this game to pick up and really understand, do you think? Like, you guys only played it one time, and you guys...
Well, I've played it a handful of times, and I think it only took me about 10 minutes to explain, and you guys seem to take to it really fast.
Yeah, I thought it made almost perfect sense.
Right, because
like it's really...
Yeah, you start with 5 or 6 pieces of resource and only about 5 or 6 cards in your hand, so you're kind of limited in what you can do right there in terms of decision-making, and you build your empire slowly, so it's kind of ramping up to a higher complexity.
Plus, you also know, you know, if you do get confused by a card, the cards have instructions. Not crazy, but I mean, they clue you in on what they do and such. And so, I mean, it's really nice. I thought it was really easy to pick up on.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I mean, strategizing is something else. I feel like, you know, I didn't, as I've said several times now, I did lose. I mean, I thought I had a good strategy for a while, and I did work for a while, and then it totally backfired, and you overtook me, and everyone else for that matter. And so I feel like a few playthroughs, you could kind of change how you play the game.
Right.
But understanding the basics, it was pretty simple.
Yeah. And there is an expansion for this game. I'm sure there will be many, but you can pick up the Atlantis expansion and actually play as the Atlanteans, which I thought was kind of an interesting move because it's not even a real civilization.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. They
grounded,
go from historical places, factions, buildings, and then boom, Atlantis.
Right.
We were discussing which expansion might be next, who we think would be next, and I'm thinking they might actually go like the Amazons, maybe.
That would be very cool and different.
Amazonians, that would be pretty cool. I would buy that one.
Yeah. I wonder if they go, I bet they go Aztec.
There it is. Yep. Yeah.
There it is. There's the money.
I was almost to that continent. I was like, Africa? No, wait, Egypt's in Africa. Dang it.
Well, I think that's all we got.
Yep, that's about...
Yeah.
Hey, Terror Kit Maker, first appearance on the podcast.
Okay, come over here real quick. All right, so my wife is home from a meeting. We're going to have her come over and actually discuss a few issues that she has with the two of you. So, first of all... Yeah.
Steven?
Yes.
I haven't done anything.
Wait a minute. So, when we were playing Imperial Settlers, and we were selecting buildings... He kind of swooped in and took a building that would have been very useful to your civilization.
I don't really even have a use for this, but I'm going to take it anyway.
Whoa, you just even straight up said that, Steven?
I did say that.
It was evil.
So the other thing is that we had, I think, Seth and Kaylee over to play board games one evening. And Seth had promised to bring Tara some salsa, the best salsa on the planet. And I don't know what happened. What was the story there?
Long story short, Seth epic failed. And apparently he threw it out the window. I'm not sure what.
Okay, I didn't throw it. It fell out.
That salt fell out of your window on the way to our house.
It was precarious.
Story. Why were you just holding the salsa out the window? That's my question.
All right, so you know when you hold something out the window and then the wind from you driving blows the scent into your nostrils, then it wafts the beautiful scent of
salsa.
No,
I understand that. Why were you holding it out the window? That's
so
my question.
That would happen. So that would happen.
Weirdest story I've ever
heard. That didn't answer my question.
Look, it was a long time ago, okay? I don't really remember actually this happening at all, to be honest.
Because there was no salsa, was there, Seth? There was no salsa.
There was salsa.
There was never any salsa. Well, now you owe me breadsticks.
Okay.
Okay.
So...
now that we have that sorted out.
Right, now that that is settled.
Wait.
You guys have buried the hatchet.
Dude, did we?
Finally. Finally.
Oh.
I buried the hatchet a long time ago, okay?
Dude, there was no... No, we didn't bury anything.
Okay.
We just brought it all to the surface.
Right, okay. There. Okay, well, that's...
So how about... Okay, I'm sorry for stealing the card, Tara. How about that? Was it genuine? I don't know.
See, this is good for me. It's just directing the wrath towards Steven, so I'll take that.
That's my job, Seth. I'm the buffer.
Thanks, bro.
Yep.
Oh, man. On that note, I think this has been episode 18 of the Board Game Point of View.
Yeah, I guess I have to go buy Seth's salsa.
I guess so. Join us again soon for episode 19.
Thanks, America. Good night.
Adios.
Thanks.
Bum, 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 bum.
That's the ending theme that I just made up.
Bum, bum.
Okay. Yeah. Just like that. You gotta have that. I forgot that part because I was laughing.
He does have a nice hat selection.
He does.
Yeah.
I feel like all of this should be on the podcast.
Okay.
This whole conversation.
Wait, at least the part buttering up Tom Bassel. he also has a nice bone structure. Just want to point that out.
Okay.
To go with his hat collection. It really works.
Dude, again, rough edit. Tom Bassel has a nice hat collection.
He does.
Right in the middle of like one of our game reviews.
Okay.
Perfect. Okay.